number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime. This is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Nighttime with Tony D. I'm Rich Sherrera. Tony off this week. I'll be with you all week and through Memorial Day as he gets some well-deserved time off. Adam Sager, though, doesn't get any time off. He's stuck working with me, and I'll keep you going till the break of dawn. Thanks for joining us, everybody, on a very interesting day in sports. You've got NBA playoffs, you've got NHL playoffs, you've got the Super Bowl being awarded, and some Major League Baseball. All of that will be discussed this morning here on the program. First and foremost, though, I'm a big phone call guy. You want to call into the program and discuss any of these things, especially as, again, this is the third shift, middle of the night. You want to stay awake? You're sitting there looking at your radio as you're doing whatever you do. If you're a security guard or you're driving around or you're a trucker, whatever you happen to be doing right now, hey, I'd like to hear from you. 1-800-777-2907. 1-800-777-2907. Because there's a lot of different fans across the country that are feeling different ways right now with what's going on in each city that's in the Final Four of the National Basketball Association, La Ligue Nationale de la Hockey, and there's five cities in America right now where they're jumping up and down for joy that they're getting a Super Bowl. So all of that across the country today. So we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-777-2907. Let's start with the Pittsburgh Penguins. If you're a Pens fan, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, let's just say 12 hours ago, you were gripping. You were ready to scream and yell. You wanted Mike Sullivan's head on a platter. What in the world's going on with your Pens? You had an opportunity to really do some damage at home, and all of a sudden the Lightning stole a game from you. But tonight, all is well in Pittsburgh because the Penguins come back and win in Tampa by the score of 5-2. And if you're a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, everything that could possibly go right for you went right for you. The Lightning jump out to the early lead, but Mike Sullivan goes, wait a minute, I think they're offside. Protest the goal. Guess what? It goes their way, and that's when the Penguin fans knew that they were going to be shining they were going to have a lucky star. They're going to be sailing underneath a lucky star because that's exactly what happened. They waved the goal off, and then all of a sudden, their big boys, who had been silent all series, really got after it. Sid the Kid, Malkin, Phil Kessel, Chris Letang, all were outstanding. And how about this? They go back and they make the right call. Matt Murray, the 21-year-old, steps back in after getting shellacked last game out, and they had to go to their backup goalie, who used to be their first-line goalie, and it was just a mess. Controversy around. Marc-Andre Fleury gets beat last time. Today they're trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Do I go back to the kid who's done so well taking over when Fleury got the concussion? Well, they made the right call, although you do have to give a lot of credit to the defense of Pittsburgh because he did not have to make many stops today, just 28 en route to the 5-2 victory over the Tampa Bay Lightning. So if you're at Pittsburgh and you're a Penguins fan, listen, you are alive for the most magic word there is in sports, Game 7. Game 7, the most magic words in sports. Why? Because it's the ultimate test of what you've done and how you've gotten after. Think about this. In the Super Bowl, it's one game, winner take all. You could have a bad game. You could have your best game, but it's just one game. It's one day. On any given Sunday, you go out there and you have to give it your best versus their best, but if you're not feeling good, you have an injury, whatever, it's not a game of attrition. It's just one game, winner take all. But it doesn't allow for I'm having a good game, they're having a bad game. Sometimes people play over their heads. Sometimes people don't play up to their own expectations. Best of three seems too short. You could get hot, and the best team's not always going to win. Same thing in football. Does the best team always win? No, because it's a one-shot deal. Best of five seems like it, but do I really get to test my mettle by getting knocked on my rear end and having to get back up again? That's why amateur fights are 3 rounds. Heavyweight fights are a lot longer. Because this really is a heavyweight fight when you have 7 games. And that's what you're going to get between the Lightning and the Pittsburgh Penguins. You took their best shot. You took their best shot. They will take your best shot. And then you're going to get up and you're going to go again. And you're going to take their best shot, and then they're going to give you their best shot. And that's what you do when you have a Game 7. In order to get to a Game 7, you have to face elimination in that Game 7. You've got to have one team have momentum, and then the momentum go back the other way. It really is the ultimate test. It's the perfect number, 7. So in the Eastern Conference Finals, that's what you're going to get to. Pittsburgh staves off elimination today in Tampa Bay, and they will go on, and they will go on to play a Game 7 against Lightning. Now, if you're the Lightning, oh, man, you were at home. Everybody was excited. Your fans were making noise. Everybody was ready to go. The building was rocking, and you get that first goal to take that early lead. Get the fans into it. Get that energy, that electricity. And if you've never been to the Amalie Arena where the Lightning play, they actually have electricity, real electricity in their building. There's a place in Chicago, and Adam, help me out here if you know what I'm talking about. There's a place in Chicago where they actually have this science project that creates lightning. Like, it creates electricity. And it was the only place in the world where you could find one. So the owner of the Lightning, do you know what I'm talking about, Adam?
No, not off the top of my head.
Okay, so it's like this Museum of Science of Industry in Chicago somewhere, and it's the only place in the world that they had one. So they took the owner of the Lightning to see it, and he goes, you know, hey, I'd like to have something kind of special in my building. That would be cool if we had, like, real actual lightning that we can harness inside of our stadium. So they took him, and he goes, okay, that's great. But he also has one of the biggest scoreboards in all of the NHL and NBA arenas. And they said, this is great, Mr. Vinnick. Jeff Vinnick's the owner of the Lightning. And they said, Mr. Vinnick, this is great. We'll put this in this corner of the arena, and whenever the Lightning score, we'll have electricity. We'll have a bolt of lightning that's actually produced in the roof of the stadium, and fans can see it. That's awesome. And he goes, great, let's do it. How much does it cost? $2 million. He goes, done. And they said, he said, is everybody going to be able to see this? Will this just be awesome for our fans? And the guy looks and says, well, sorry to tell you this, Mr. Vinnick, but because the size of your scoreboard and where we're going to have to put it, only half of the fans will be able to see it. The other half of the arena won't be able to see it because the line of sight will not allow it to be seen because of the scoreboard. And he goes, oh, then let's get two. He actually said, oh, well, let's buy two of them then. So they actually have on either side of the scoreboard a machine that creates a bolt of lightning that they light up every time Tampa Bay scores a goal. Craziest thing ever. Craziest thing ever. The only thing I've ever seen crazier than that is in the inaugural season of the, was it the Sharks? I think it was the Sharks. When you had a goal, and they did this for the Ducks as well, I think. When you scored a goal, the lights went low, and a spotlight shined on the goaltender that gave up the goal. And he was put under a spotlight for giving up a goal. It didn't last very long because visiting teams would complain that you were showing up their goaltender. But in Tampa Bay, when the Lightning score, you actually have a bolt of lightning that comes down from the ceiling of the arena to get the fans all jacked up. So imagine it's a playoff game. They're excited. The energy's in the building. Boom, all of a sudden, Lightning take a 1-0 lead. The bolt of lightning is coming out of the arena. Everybody's going crazy, and then, boom. Mike Sullivan, the Pittsburgh coach, says, hold on, fellas. Hold on, fellas. Let's try that again because I think the Lightning were offsides. Has the referees review the goal? And indeed, the Lightning were offsides. The goal's disallowed. You want to talk about just sucking the energy out of a building and taking the momentum away from the Lightning? And once he did that, The Penguins did their job by winning today by the score of 5-2. All right, we're going to talk about that quite a bit on the program tonight. We're also going to get into the Dubs. Oh, my gosh. Can somebody try to figure out where the real Golden State Warriors are? Because that wasn't them again tonight at OKC. We'll talk about that next. My name is Rich Herrera. Adam Sager, producer, co-host. We continue with you to the break of dawn. It's nighttime. I'm sitting in for Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Rich Herrera sitting in for Tony D this week here on Yahoo Sports Radio with you until 6 a.m. Eastern. Hope you're having a better day than the Splash Brothers. The Splash Brothers are actually the Splish Brothers today, splishing and splashing and just not getting anything done. Wow. What a beatdown. What a beatdown at the hands of the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, it wasn't even entertaining. It was such a beatdown. Thanks for joining us, everybody. You want to comment? If you're an OKC fan, I will tell you right now that you are the exception to the rule. Because, let's be honest, people in the media, in writers, talk show hosts like me, we all have our opinions and we throw them out, and sometimes they're just overwhelming. The Atlanta Braves aren't going to be very good this year. All right, I don't think there's much debate about that. The Golden State Warriors were awesome this year. I don't think there's any debate about that. So when you're covering the National Basketball Association and you're talking about what's going on as far as the better teams in the league, the bad teams in the league, we know who the bad teams in the league are. We know who the best teams in the league are. And we know the teams in the middle. The most amazing part of all of this is that Oklahoma City was a good team all year long. Oklahoma City was a really good team all season long. But nobody ever wanted to talk about them. Why? Because they weren't as sexy as the cute Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry and the Splash Brothers. They've got a great nickname. They're the world champions. They seem like just really good guys, and everybody loves them. You have San Antonio, who is a dynasty. Greg Popovich and all the championships they've won, and they're the aging veterans and looking for one last great year in the sun. That's a better story than Oklahoma City. Out in the East, you have LeBron James, the man that everybody loves to hate unless you are a Clevelander and you hope that he's finally going to bring you a championship. So those are the teams that we all talked about. The Warriors, the Cavs, and that's been everybody's dream, having a Warriors-Cavs final rematch of last year. The Splash Brothers and how cute they are versus LeBron James, the enigma that is the face of the National Basketball Association. It was all set up. It was Hollywood script ready to go. But then reality set in. And here's the part, if you're an Oklahoma City fan, that I guess, I don't know if you should demand an apology or you should just be satisfied that the prognosticators like myself are not always 100% correct. 1-800-777-2907. 1-800-777-2907. There comes a time where there's the rule and then there's an exception. This is the exception to the rule. If you're that good during the regular season, you're supposed to be that good during the postseason. Nobody just turns it on, turns it off. Nobody gets better during the playoffs than they do during the regular season. Maybe you get hot, but eventually you get found out. Or you're so good and you've wasted so much energy and you've got nothing left in the tank that you falter down the stretch. Maybe that's the other sense of conventional wisdom. But to watch what Oklahoma City has done to the Golden State Warriors since the kick by Draymond Green has been absolutely mind-boggling to anybody, including, dare I say, Oklahoma City fans. Oklahoma City fans, I don't think that you ever in your wildest dreams thought that you would run the Golden State Warriors off the court. Maybe you think you'd beat them. Maybe it's going to be a tight game and it'll go back and forth and you'll really feel good about yourselves and you're the little team that nobody's going to give any credit to and you squeak a couple wins out and you press and you press and maybe you win in six games and, wow, this is really nice. Look, we worked hard and we got past them. But I dare anybody to show me where you throw it out there that, oh, yeah, we're going to take it to them. We're going to beat them. We're going to just wipe them off the floor the way that you have. Watching the Golden State Warriors absolutely crumble before our very eyes in the last two games since the kick and watching Oklahoma City play their best basketball right now has been absolutely breathtaking. To watch the Golden State Warriors, who will run with anybody, who will shoot from anywhere, who will get up and down the floor, actually be out splash brothered by Oklahoma City is absolutely amazing. So hats off to Oklahoma City. I don't know if it's Oklahoma City just running them off the floor, a little bit of the Golden State Warriors just not knocking down shots they normally do. Maybe the Golden State Warriors are exhausted from the season they had. Last 40 games, they lost three games. They went 37-3. I saw this from ESPN Stats and Info. 37-3, last 40 games. Last four games, 1-3, and they are one game away from elimination. Now, again, they have the heart of a champion because, unlike LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, they are champions. Just had to get the little shot in at Cavalier fans. But they have the heart of a champion. They know what it's like to win. They know what it's going to take. Can they rebound? Can Steve Kerr show why he was coach of the year? Can you show everybody why Steph Curry was the unanimous MVP, first player in the history of the National Basketball Association to ever get that? Absolutely. So what do you do now if you're the Golden State Warriors because you've just been run off the floor and absolutely dominated ever since Draymond Green decided to kick Steven Adams in the nether regions? It has been absolutely mind-blowing to watch the focus of OKC and the absolute ineptness of the Golden State Warriors. Again, I was listening to Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the Warriors broadcast, and at the end of the game, I mean, I never thought I would hear this. Tom Tolbert's like, hey, can somebody just hold on to the ball so the game could be over? Can we just go home now? I mean, you want to talk about back the bus up, we're ready to go? That's exactly what Oklahoma City did. Did they take the soul? Did they break the back of the Golden State Warriors tonight? Oh, I can't wait for the next game. Because they play like that and they advance on. Look out. I don't care who comes out of the East. Oklahoma City right now playing the best basketball. I don't know anybody in San Francisco or in Cleveland or in Toronto that could say they're playing better basketball right now than the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's how good they are. And for the Warriors, oh man, you better learn how to turn it around. And this is your day. This is your time to look and see, am I really a champion? And this is a legacy. And this is a play that I could put multiple runs together, that I could basically try to be like the San Antonio Spurs. Or do you turn out to be one and done because you've been unmasked by Oklahoma City? You want to comment, 1-800-777-2907. Or feel free to reach out to me on Twitter. RBI Rich is my Twitter handle. Coming up, Super Bowl's awarded. What happened? We'll check in with Maury Brown of Forbes.com. That's next here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
We continue with you here on Yahoo Sports Radio. It's nighttime. Rich Herrera sitting in this week for Tony D.
I now have seen the most absurd thing I think I've ever seen on television. They actually had a special to award the Super Bowl selection committee's recommendations of where the next Super Bowls are going to go. Years ago, it was just a press release, and you'd walk over to a fax machine to find out where they're going to Super Bowl. Now it's cameras and interviews and exclusives. Wow, this thing has gotten out of control. To comment on this and the awarding of the Super Bowl, let's run out to our guest hotline joining us right now from Forbes.com. Murray Brown is one of the preeminent business writers of the time right now. He's joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Did you ever think you would see a full-blown television special awarding Super Bowls, which used to be just kind of handed out in a press release?
Well, you know, Rich, it doesn't surprise me. I guess it really kind of speaks to how the influence of the NFL as a spectacle has grown. I mean, whether it's the draft or, you know, or whether it's a selection of most anything, certainly the draft and any of their jewel events, you know, which clearly the Super Bowl is the biggest one of all the sports in North America. So it doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't. And it is one of those things to where I think that people start to begin to wonder what they're going to do and what they're going to make plans. And so it's turned into quite a big deal.
It's more than just awarding a game and looking for great weather. I mean, now this thing has become so political with, if I get a new stadium, I better get a Super Bowl. Or if I'm thinking about getting a better stadium, then the folks down in San Diego pony up and maybe you'll get one. I mean, this thing is becoming one of the biggest bargaining chips I think I've ever seen.
Well, it absolutely is. I mean, and that's the thing. I don't know if fans really take into account. I mean, this is absolutely, if you look at the four that were selected today and recommended, I mean, those, all of those come into play. Every single one of those things that you bring up, whether it's, you know, a remodel and a complete revamping of a stadium that we're seeing in Florida, or whether it's certainly moving to Los Angeles and ponying up a whole bunch of money there for the Rams. None of this stuff surprises me. And it is one of those things to where, you know, if you wanted to try and figure out where they're going to be in the future, that's where you would probably look. Look for where new stadiums are being built and or ones that are being renovated.
Well, here's the part that I wanted to get to with you, because I think this is absolutely fascinating. But there's also the political side of it, of who's going to get a stadium, why they're going to get a stadium, and which owners get behind the other owners. And it seems to me, Los Angeles and the whole Kroenke thing, edging out San Diego, who I thought had the inside track solely on Jerry Jones's muscle, they get a Super Bowl as well. I mean, this really looks like a league that Jerry Jones is spearheading right now. What do you think?
Well, I mean, there's you know, I wouldn't fight that all the way. I mean, Jerry wields an awful lot of power, and so do a number of others. But look, I mean, Los Angeles, coming back to Los Angeles and all the things that come along, the trimmings that come along with having an NFL team back in Los Angeles, all those come into play. And that's a large reason why this is happening. I mean, I mentioned prior to the draft, you know, look, you can pretty much mark it down that the NFL draft will be held in Los Angeles at some point soon. If we're going to have a Super Bowl there, we're going to wind up having the draft. It's just too convenient for travel. It's too convenient in terms of the glitz that go along with it. So none of that really surprises me too terribly much. But, I mean, the idea that basically Jerry helped him, you know, help this situation with Stan Kroenke getting the team there, I think that there's an awful lot to be said about that. And we're still not done with it. I mean, we really don't know whether the Chargers are going to go ahead and partner up and basically become a tenant in the Rams facility, or whether the Raiders eventually will. So this story isn't even close to being done yet.
See, this is why I love talking to you, because you're ahead of everybody else when it comes to these things. Here's what kind of disturbs me, and I think this is a big red flag watching this, with everything that Stan Kroenke's gotten, with Jerry Jones, and now talking about Las Vegas, but I'm also seeing cities that were left out, Tampa Bay in particular. It seems to me now, Maury, that we've seen the lifespan of these stadiums in the last 2 years shrunk from, I'm going to build a stadium, it'll be there for 50 years, to, these things are now looking like they're going to start being obsolete after 15, 20, 25 years. They're not good enough to host a Super Bowl. That disturbs me if I'm a municipality who's being asked to build this billion-dollar stadium, knowing that the shelf life of this thing is going to be shorter than we ever would have thought of.
Well, you know, I wrote about this for baseball recently, you know, but it is, you know, it really is something that has come across pretty much all of the major sports leagues. Now, some of them are going to last a lot longer than others. I think Jerry World is going to be there for a very long time, AT&T Stadium there for the Cowboys. I don't see that going away anytime soon. It's a signature stadium, and that's kind of the thing that you start to begin to look at. What is a signature location which has some kind of intrinsic value and some history? You know, we're not going to see Lambeau Field going away anytime soon. We're going to see renovations of Soldier Field, certainly, and things of that nature. I don't see that going away anytime soon. But in markets where there isn't a storied history, where you don't have storied brands, and maybe a lackluster experience, yeah, I can see shorter shelf lives on this thing. And I think it's very disturbing in many ways to see this. And like I said, I wrote about this today, just this week around baseball, with the Braves moving, and then now it looks like the Texas Rangers want to get a new place just because they wanted a roof. They want, instead of putting a roof on a perfectly good facility less than 20 years old, we're going to build a whole brand new, brand spanking new ballpark now, with half of it coming from the taxpayer. So, you know, if you're somebody that looks at these things from, you know, the amount of money that the public sinks into them, yes, it's something to be very concerned about if it's a trend.
Well, that's the part I wanted to bring up, because it was a great piece that you wrote, especially when you look at Oakland, who needs to get a new stadium for their football team and their baseball team. How much are they just right now looking like, wait a minute, the ballpark in Arlington, there's nothing wrong with that field, and it's already obsolete. We didn't have the Olympics that long ago at Turner Field. That's already obsolete. How much money am I going to pour into this thing, knowing you guys are going to want to leave me after 20 years?
Well, I think the biggest thing, certainly the A's and the Rays on the baseball side of things, you really begin to sit there and say that not every city is the same. I mean, you sit there and you go, gosh, in a perfectly fair world, both of those places would have had new ballparks before maybe many of these other places have places built. But, I mean, look, I mean, speaking of football, I mean, if you go and look at, you know, the Metrodome and what happened there when we had the snow basically collapse the roof. You know, I mean, they were due. I mean, they were pretty much due for a new facility. And that's where you really get into this thing. Who really needs one? And then one is a nice want. And then it really boils down to, you know what, Maury and Rich, why don't you just not worry about this? Because if the taxpayers want to vote for this stuff and pay for it, well, then it's on them. And there's some level of truth to that. Now, in every situation like that where there's a voter referendum, clearly this isn't 100% of the voters saying, yeah, let's go and tax ourselves. There's people that will say no, but the majority rules in those kind of things. And that's what we see in these places where these facilities get coughed up. And you either have some new location and region, which we saw in Atlanta with Cobb County being able to say, hey, we'll do it. It'll draw people out to us. Or in the situation with Texas, where they feel that they can just go ahead and extend taxation and basically get, you know, a place built for them. Those places are a lot more friendly to this kind of thing than other places across the country.
All right, here's something I'm looking for. I think we're going to see a bubble. I think we'll see a bubble from stadiums that need to be built when you have a facility that's breaking down, and the new team wanting the Taj Mahal Jerry Jones World that bumps up the price tag from $500 million to $1 billion. And with the short shelf life, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next 5-6 years when these stadiums come along. Hey, there's more that I want to talk with you about, but we're coming up to the top of the hour. Tell me where people can find you online, on Twitter, and read all your stuff.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at BizBallMaury. That's BizBallMaury.
And you check them out. Listen, if you want to read somebody, and I trust, that's why I had him come on with us, folks. There's a couple business writers I trust. He's one of them. So follow him on Twitter if you want to find all the latest. Like he said, he wrote about the baseball stadium and the Braves, and they're getting their new stadium, the Rangers ballpark. And I'm not sure they're going to take the Field of Dreams music with them, but they're going to get a new ballpark as well. So we'll continue with you. This is Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and YahooSportsRadio.com.
Tony D off tonight, actually off all week. I'm Rich Ferrer sitting in for him tonight on Nighttime. Our thanks to Murray Brown, Bizball Murray. I'm going to get him on later this week. The guy is so good. Writing for Forbes magazine. Check him out. Bizball Murray is his Twitter handle. That guy is just nails. Adam Sager, our co-host and producer.
Yes, he was very good. Very informative.
He's just solid. Now, he and I have gotten into beefs before.
Oh, yeah?
We got into a Twitter beef, which led to a blog beef, which, you know, in the world of sports radio is taking it to the next level.
Oh, yes, it is.
Because you know there's lots of Twitter warriors out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Tony gets tons of them.
Yeah.
The people that just, you know, with 140 characters, I am huge. I've got strong Twitter muscles when I can hide behind my avatar and just call anybody out on Twitter. So I've got a lot of people that I don't like on Twitter, I'll read, but very rarely do I get into Twitter wars with people. I guess it was a week ago, I got into a Twitter war with a couple guys about the Raiders moving to Las Vegas. And I feel bad when I get into Twitter wars with fans because they're sports fans. They're buying tickets. Their interest in sports is what employs me. So I shouldn't be a horse's you-know-what. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But when they're just so wrong, and then they, like, one guy goes, I doubt if you've ever been to Las Vegas. You don't know anything about Vegas. That's when I had to drop the hammer on him. And then when I do, and I do drop the hammer, and I just go for the jugular, I feel bad when they whimper away after a Twitter fight with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to have Twitter fights the way some people do. I mean, there's a lot of people in the media that love to have Twitter fights. I'm not one of them. I'd rather have you call me. But Murray and I got into it over flat bill caps, of all things. And he wrote a story that, you know, people in baseball just have to get over themselves, and you old school guys, the flat bill caps. So I wrote a responding blog on my personal blog saying that, you know, it's not so much it's the flat bill cap. You have to respect the game because baseball is a game that is very humbling. And all these people that want to say, let's make baseball fun again, they forget how humbling it is because when you're sitting on top and you're doing really well, it's easy for you to Cadillac and pimp a home run. Or have you seen the video of that kid that hit the home run, did the bat flip, and then did the running man?
Yes, I did see that.
So, I mean, I get all these people that don't understand the game and don't understand baseball saying, oh, that's the coolest thing in the whole wide world. No, that's not the coolest thing in the whole wide world. That's a kid that doesn't have much respect for the game, and I wonder how much respect he would have for himself. Because the game seems easy at time, and it was always that easy, then you would have people that would have batting averages of 500, where they're just 500. They're just even. Nobody has a 500 batting average. The best hitter in the world is going to fail more times than he succeeds. So that's why you better be humble in this game, because it's going to come around and bite you in the rear end. So he and I went back and forth, and he wrote his piece for Forbes. I wrote my piece on my blog. He responded back with another Forbes piece. But I love the guy because he's really smart and he's really into things. And of all the business writers I know, he actually is really good at actually figuring things out and not being spoon-fed things that come from teams and leagues and sources and all the rest of that. So that's why I like talking to Murray about all of this. But I brought this up with him, and I'm not sure if you saw that, if you were awake this morning. Did you watch NFL Network at all today to see their coverage of the awarding of the Super Bowl? I think we have met one of the signs of the apocalypse is upon us, that we actually covered in a special television show watching people that work for a chamber of commerce with a camera in their meeting room raise their ham-fisted little mitts up in the air to celebrate that they got a Super Bowl. It was the most surreal thing I think I've ever seen in my life.
I saw just a few moments of it because once I realized, because normally I'll just flip around between MLB Network and NFL Network and kind of check out what ESPN's got going on. And I went to NFL Network and I saw it and I was like, it took me a minute to kind of figure out what it was. And then once I realized what it was, I was like, I don't care anything about this. So I'm getting off of it.
Seriously, they had it set up like it's the war room.
Right.
Like,
ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take you behind the scenes to show you what goes on inside the war room of the Dallas Cowboys as they get ready for their first pick. Jerry Jones is standing there along with Stephen Jones and their coach and all the scouts, and we'll find out who they're going to take. The drama's sitting here as they're deciding as the clock ticks.
Okay, I get that part, right? But when they go to,
ladies and gentlemen, let's take a look inside the Los Angeles meeting room. There you see a guy who's an insurance salesman who's on the Chamber of Commerce representing Los Angeles, and you have a woman who's a real estate agent who works for the Los Angeles Sports Committee, host organizing committee, and gala and tournament roses parade. She's the one in the purple dress. The drama fills the room as they wait to see whether they're going to be awarded a Super Bowl. There you see another guy who sells cars in Indio, California, which isn't really part of California. It's Southern California, but it's a part of California. But seriously, I have no idea, nor do I care who any of these people are.
I mean, that's basically what they could have done is they showed that. It was just, somebody told me once, Adam, that the National Football League is a 10-cent cigar wrapped in a million-dollar wrapper. And that's exactly what you got today, is they're awarded the Super Bowl. They used to just send out a press release. I'd walk over to the fax machine here. Here's where the Super Bowl's going. No, actually, we had a made-for-television event, and I sat and watched the whole thing. Hook, line, and sinker. Coming up, we'll check what happened in Major League Baseball. Dodgers rolling, Giants rolling. Hey, what about the Cubs? We'll talk about that next here on Yahoo Sports Radio.